All right, so let's talk for a minute about, you know, Barbara works on the bond counsel, tax counsel side. So when you issue tax and bonds, sort of the day you close those bonds, there are certain requirements that are sort of in place that day and sort of certain closing requirements. That's going to be to file a certain tax form, either an 8038 or an 8038G. But I think more importantly, or equally as important, is you're issuing the tax certificate that really sort of lays out the sort of tax framework of that bond issue and of your projects. And so to be able to issue those bonds in the first place, you have to be able to certify that certain things are reasonably expected with respect to that bond issue. So you're going to reasonably expect the investment of your proceeds are going to follow the guidelines set out by the IRS. The use of your bond proceeds, sort of what projects you're spending that money on, will sort of follow, again, the guidelines. And then a reasonable expectation of how you're going to use those facilities on an ongoing basis.
So occasionally we get the question, well, we want to buy this piece of land, but we may use it and we may just sell it again in 5 years. Is that a problem? It could be. That's something you want to bring up to your bond counsel, because if you can't state on the date of issue that you actually expect to use the property for the entire life of the bonds, then there might be some structuring considerations that need to be built into your bonds. So just be aware. I hear that quite a bit.
Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, even getting to the table to be able to do that bond issue, you deal with a lot of that kind of stuff. And then once you issue the bonds, there are certain, you know, two big buckets of ongoing compliance requirements. Barbara just touched on these, but and we'll go into those will be the two main things we're going to focus on today, is the arbitrage rebate rules and the private business use rules. But the sort of first requirement is, what are you doing with those proceeds before you spend it? And then the second set of rules is, you know, how are you using those facilities day in, day out over the life of the bonds? So those are the sort of the two main buckets, and now we'll go into sort of, yeah, more detail on those two.
This is one me?
Yes, you.
Oh.
Arbitrage.
Arbitrage. So I'm going to give you some IRS history. It's super boring, but it explains why this is so complicated, because I always wanted to know. So in, I think it was like 1969, the IRS decided that they really needed to monitor how these issuers were using their bond proceeds, and so they put into effect what's called yield restriction. And yield restriction means that if you don't meet an exception, and there's many exceptions, but if you don't meet an exception, you cannot invest your proceeds above the arbitrage yield on your bonds. So if you borrow and your arbitrage yield, you can think of it as average yield. It's not really a tick or, you know, a true interest cost. It's more of a pure, you know, yield, not taking into account any of your costs. But if you borrow at 3% and you invest at 4%, the IRS said, no, don't invest at 4%. Just invest at 3% and you'll be fine. We won't have any issues. That, you know, there's no abuse there. And then all these finance officers said, how do you get an investment exactly at 3.3218%, which is what my arbitrage yield is? You know, how do I actually do this? Can't I just invest above and pay it back to you? And so once they realized that these yield restriction rules didn't work very well, they decided they would go and put into place these rebate rules. But they left the yield restriction rules in place and didn't repeal them. They could have, and rebate could have taken care of everything, but instead now we have both rebate and yield restriction. And rebate says that if you earn above your arbitrage yield and you don't have an exception to rebate, that you then need to pay it back to the IRS. You can earn it, but you can't keep it necessarily. And yield restriction says you can't even earn it. So now, unfortunately, you have to figure out, can I invest above? And then if I can invest above, can I keep it? Those are.
They overlap, but they also, you get credit for one or the other, right? You sort of.
Yeah, usually you do. There are some situations where it's you can get caught by yield restriction in particular and get in a worse spot than you would have with rebate.
And one thing, as we go into this, if you've been sort of in the industry for a while, rates have been sort of short-term rates have been historically low for 10 years. Arbitrage rebate hasn't been a big issue. Breaking news, rates are going up, so it really is sort of more interesting, sort of a, you know, a more exciting topic than it has been for a while. We've got a slide on at the end, but I thought maybe we'd mention it at the beginning in case you're not going to listen to the rebate. slides. So.
we took a poll internally with our tax department just a few days ago, how many of the tax lawyers there had to deal with a positive rebate situation in their career. And there were not as many raising their hands as you would have thought. So this is something that most of the people in this room probably have never dealt with. And I'm just going to say now, hire a rebate analyst. They're worth the money. And I'm not saying this because Alan's one of them and we're friends and our companies are related. I'm saying this because when you're audited, I've worked on dozens of audits at this point. When you're audited, if I can produce for the IRS agent a rebates analyst report, I have yet to get another question about rebate from the IRS agent. And again, when we were talking about rebate, we took the poll in our group. We've got about 10 tax lawyers who do thousands of bond issues a year. Not one of them said that they'd ever had a follow-up question when they're... Now, I can't swear that will always be the case, but it's a relatively cheap insurance for audit. And you're doing the right thing, and you're going to be doing it timely because they're keeping your calendar for you. So that's my plug for rebate analysts of all companies. They're worth it. So with yield restriction, what you're worried about is you're worried about earning what's called a materially higher yield. And so for each type of fund that you have a project fund, you might have a reserve fund if you're doing a revenue-based financing. You'll have a debt service fund. Almost everybody has a debt service fund of some sort or another. All of those different funds, you can invest. You might be able to, if you don't have an exception to rebate, you might be able to invest above the arbitrage yield, but only by a materially higher amount.